This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
It's time for the Drive's Top 5 at 5.
Quitting time on your Monday, 5 o'clock here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Bear and Rick back with you. Yeah, I almost called you Trey. It's still imprinted on my brain. It wants to come out every now and then. Generally, I stop it. Adam Hickman's here. He's got the top five at five this afternoon, brought to you by Knoxville Smiles. Hickman?
Number one. So, Amani Bates, who is the number one player in the class of 2022, he decommitted from Michigan State over the weekend, and shortly after that, he picked up an offer from Rick Barnes in Tennessee.
For now, cool. I'm filing this under the wishful thinking column. The popular narrative is that he's going to the G League and going pro.
Probably.
Yeah, I don't think he'll step foot on a college campus, but Rick Barnes throws his hat in the ring.
Might as well.
Hey, Zion went to college, so was that before all this?
You before.
Could go to the G League?
Yeah, right.
But thought.
People are now proving that it works, so I think you start to see it become the trend.
It's like in sales, man. The worst that can happen is they tell you no. So you go ahead and ask.
Number two, Russell, this one's for you. Medina Spirit won the 147th running of the Kentucky Derby this weekend.
Medina Spirit. See, we've even run out of good horse names, right?
Medina. I think
Funky Cold Medina.
Terrible.
There were some great ones this weekend. Soup and Sandwich was one of my personal
favorites. Okay, that's pretty good.
Yep. Medina was jockeyed by John R. Velasquez. And the trainer for Medina, Bob Baffert, has now won a record-setting 7 Kentucky Derbies.
So now he turns his attention to what are the other two? The Preakness and the Belmont Stakes. And if he can get through those without tripping and breaking a leg.
Triple crown.
He gets the triple crown. He gets to retire. And this is the thing about horse racing. You know, we live in a black and white society. Everything's either awesome or it sucks. And so it is with the fate of racehorses. If, was it Medina?
Medina Spirit.
Medina Spirit. If he can win the Triple Crown, he gets to retire, and then he gets put out the stud, which is basically he just gets to live the rest of his life eating whatever he wants and just having sex all the time.
bad work if you can get it, Russell.
Yeah, so that's one end of the spectrum. The other end of the spectrum is if he falls and breaks his leg, they put a bullet in his head, turn him into a glue stick. There's not much in between there. Either live out the rest of your life eating and sleeping and sexing on the farm, or you die and become glue.
Number three.
Tough. It's tough. Go ahead, Hickman. Sorry.
So with all the draft talk we've had lately, it is now official for 2022 that the NFL draft will take place in Las Vegas, going from April 28th to April 30th.
Are we going to do that thing with the boats?
The boat.
Is that what we're going
to
do?
That needs to happen?
It
needs to happen. I want to see it.
Okay. I think it'll be cool. The draft in Vegas, a lot of possibilities there, right?
You're going to see some crazy fans, hopefully. Could be good if people watch from TV.
They'll let the hookers in?
Sure, why not? They pay money for a ticket.
It is America.
Yeah.
Number four. This one kind of gets me excited. Kennedy Chandler got to talk to the Players Tribune and highlight 9 players from the class of 2021. And he sat down. He had some of the, you know, the typical powerhouses, Chet Holmgren and Paolo Banchero, who's committed to Duke. But in the article, he really, really, really hyped up Jamai Mashik and said that he is one of the most underrated guys and that he was slept on and didn't get all the coverage he deserved in high school.
I love Mashik. I think he's going to be a really good player here. Elite athlete. Hustle guy.
Ponds with more offense.
A little bit of Eve Ponds, a little bit of Admiral Schofield to him. Big, strong kid. I think he's going to be a really nice player here.
And number five to wrap things up. So a teenager in Arkansas. She's 19 years old. She recently moved to Arkansas. She is a nursing assistant. She bought her
noble
property, bought her property or her apartment, whatever, without actually visiting the property. So when she gets there, she thought it was kind of strange that all of her neighbors are 70 and above. And it turns out that she had actually booked her apartment in a retirement community.
How old is she?
19.
Oh.
That would be weird.
Doesn't sound too fun.
She actually loves it, though. She says it's nice having, you know, you're not going to have to worry about your neighbors being loud when you're trying to sleep for your nursing shift. And she said every time she comes home, they always ask her how her day is. So she's actually kind of loving it and says she plans to stay there for a while.
And then that's kind of weird. I can understand being like, you know what? This hasn't been as bad as I thought. I'm just going to kind of roll it out for a little. But I do feel like it's a little weird to just be like, you know what? I'm just going to keep it rolling. Like, extend things. Go. I'm going to keep going.
She just wrote it out. She signed the lease. She's going to live up to her word.
But didn't she say that she's expecting to live there, like, in continuation?
Yeah.
Right? In
extension? Has no plans on moving.
I'll tell
out.
You what, too. The thing about old folks' home is generally they have pretty good food. So it's not – and they do have
– Only you would like the cafeteria lot at the old folks' home.
What? I mean, I guess it depends.
Because
on
all you need is one of those like, Fred Rogers sweaters right now. I mean, you're almost there, man.
Hey, man. There are worse things than to be living in the old folks' home, eating dinner at 4:30 in the afternoon.
Kind of works out good for the retirement home, too, because she's a nurse. So, like, if you ever need an extra hand, just go knock on her door and, hey, can you help us with this?
There you go. Thank you, Hickman.
I've got a bone to pick with Hickman.
All right, let's hear it.
He had a top 4-4 and a top 5-5, and you didn't mention a huge story that sent shockwaves through the global soccer world. Football.
What story would that be? Calls it.
What went down over at Man United yesterday?
You don't even know what he's talking about, do you, Hickman?
I know what Manchester United is.
Yeah, but you don't know what happened.
No, I don't know what happened.
Are you going to enlighten him, Bear, or did you just...
No, I mean, I'm just...
No? Okay, wow. Well, maybe that's why I didn't bring it up, because nobody cares.
I mean, Bear doesn't care enough to say it. So.
Yeah. I don't think Bear actually understands what happened.
Like
Do you know what happened?
They had a riot. They had a riot. The Blazer family out.
They shut down
the
game.
Oh, yeah, they stormed the field.
Yeah.
They stormed the stadium.
Same thing.
No, it's totally not. They weren't even supposed to be inside the stadium. They broke in, took over the whole place.
They call it the grounds over there, the ground.
The
Old
pitch.
Trafford.
So, I mean, they're, you know, Man United fans, fairly low rent from everything I've always found.
Top 5 at 5 brought to you by our friends at Knoxville Smiles over there on South Peters Road in West Knoxville. Ready, willing, and able to make all your dental dreams come true. Whether you just need a routine dental cleaning or perhaps you need something a little bit more involved, fillings, crowns, bridges, Invisalign veneers, things of that nature, they do it all right there at Knoxville Smiles. Contact them today, 865-539-1776 to set up an appointment. They'll get you some crowns too. Take the virtual tour online at knoxvillesmiles.com. Big football story here locally. If you're just joining us, Jawan Mitchell making it official, committing to Tennessee. The linebacker who spent the last two seasons playing for Texas led Texas in tackles last year. 6'1", 225, chooses Tennessee over Miami, and says that he's looking forward to being, quote, the quarterback of the defense. So, obviously, Heupel and company are telling him he can come right in and start at middle linebacker. Also, it sounds like I don't think any of us were holding out any hope on this one. Obviously, Crouch is already at Michigan State, but Henry Toe, that seems to be
– I thought that was done already. We didn't need Ohio State now.
Is he at Ohio State? I haven't heard.
I thought that's where he'd ended up.
I know that that's one of the schools that he was – looking at. But we will see. Let's go to the phones, fellers. Got some phone calls here. Folks want to get in. 865-546-8200. Talking about the all-volunteer state blood and guts team today. We'll run down that again for you coming up here in just a second if you're just joining us. In honor of Trey Smith. prominently featured at offensive guard on the all-volunteer state blood and guts team. All right, let's get Mac in here first. Mac, you're on the Drive Fan Run Radio. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey. Got to throw Johnny Mills out there.
Oh!
Wide receiver.
Johnny Mills from Elizabethton, right? Or no.
Yep,
he was.
Yep. About lost him. Got very sick. Saw him landscaping alongside the road the other week. Need to call him, get him on your show. Tell about some of them stories about smoking under the benches and all that players used to do and some of them war stories from back in the day.
Now, the Johnny Mills, I believe Johnny Mills passed away.
No, he was planting trees.
He was planting trees.
Yes.
Did I just kill Johnny Mills? I could have sworn that he passed a while ago. Maybe that was somebody else.
I think you may have, Russ.
Apologies.
It's kind of awkward.
He was my guy Dewey Warren's favorite target.
Yes. Yep.
Back in the day.
Yes. Swamp rat.
Yes. Yep. I just wanted to throw that one out there. Dead or Thank alive, you. He's still one of the
best. He didn't look so dead when you saw him, huh?
Yeah, unless my eyes were deceiving me. It was
man. Sorry to the Mills family. Who am I thinking of that passed away recently? It was a former Vol. We got to be careful with that stuff. Last week, somebody called.
I always am. You aren't.
Somebody called. I generally am. I was last week. Somebody called the show last week off the air and said one of our friends, one of our a friend of the show had passed away.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah, that's right.
It told you that, Bear. And you told me during a break, and I'm like, what? And I was like, you know, this
one of us had heard it.
I was like, somebody, one of us needs to investigate this before we go public, probably. And we did. We put out feelers, and I DM'd a friend who I would think would know this, and he's like, all right, let me check on it. And towards the after the show, we had already got off the air. I didn't say anything about it on the air. And he says, well, I reached out to so-and-so, and he just called him and told me that he didn't sound very dead.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, that's good. False alarm. So I don't know if that person who called you, Bear, just had bad information or if they were like playing some kind of cruel and morbid prank on us to see if we would falsely announce that this person had died. Luckily, we did not.
Yeah, no, I think it was just an honest mistake. So,
well, good. Shout out to Johnny Mills, who's very much alive. TK, up next.
TK dropped.
Oh, who's next then, Hickman?
We got Kevin, and then we'll have Jamie.
All right, Kevin, you're on the Drive Fan Run Radio. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, man?
Man, just sitting in a little, you know, eastbound West Knoxville traffic, you know, the youth. I got some blood and guts, but I don't know if I'm remembering who this was correctly. Was it Paris Harrelson that played with like a torn bicep?
And I'm glad you brought that up because the player you're thinking of is Justin Harrell. Paris Harrelson was from Mississippi. Justin Harrell was from
That's
the
right.
mid-state, and I did think about Justin Harrell deserves consideration. Now, he's a first-round pick of the Green Bay Packers and did not have much of a career in the NFL.
No, there's two guys
what
that
Kevin is referencing,
kind of put above and beyond.
What Kevin is referencing was from the 2006 season against Air Force. That was the game that Inky Johnson got injured. Justin Harrell tore a bicep and was ruled out for the season. And we played Florida the next week. And Justin Harrell said, they said, you're not at risk of any – the surgery for the repair that your torn bicep has to be done within like 2 or 3 weeks. Otherwise, you're in bad shape. But you can't injure it anymore. And so he said, put a brace on me. I'm playing against Florida. And he went out there literally with one arm. And yeah. We should have won that game if not for a bogus touching the quarterback. Somebody grazed Chris Leak's head, and they called a pick six back.
Precious.
And
precious angel.
Otherwise, we would have won that game. But you're right, Kevin. I mean, Justin Harrell, that's blood and guts right there.
Yeah.
Who
was the kid? There's another kid that played from Ferry, left tackle. He played an entire season.
Andrew Gilliam.
Yeah.
No, it was Jacob Gilliam.
Jacob Gilliam.
Jacob Gilliam.
Yeah. He's he's a couple years older than me at Farragut, but I was on the team with him over there, so that was held in high regard for us Farragut folk.
He's a tough
stuff,
guy.
Man. Like, former walk-on, play with a torn ACL is insane.
For an entire year.
What about the Sullins twins? I mean, they might not be starting above Bubba Smith and Chad Clifton, but a couple of walk-ons, weren't they from somewhere Upper East Tennessee or something? And
I'm sure.
Or like 280 pounds, 270 pounds or something. Yeah, the Sullins twins, man. That's Cody and Corey, I believe, on that 2009 team.
Hey, you got Chris White off the 85. Pretty sure he's a native Tennessean. He lit it up that year. He led the nation.
From the Sullins twins from Cottonwood, Cottontown. They went to White House High School. I have no idea where that is.
White House High School?
Yeah.
I think it's out in West Tennessee somewhere, I'm pretty sure.
Cottontown, Tennessee.
I think that's between Nashville and Memphis, maybe?
With a name like Cottontown, it's out west.
It's north of Nashville, Sumner County. Population 367 as of 2010.
Oh yeah, Chris White, Bradley Central Zone, out of Cleveland, Tennessee.
There you go. Good stuff.
All American.
Anything else, Kevin?
Yeah, I got one more name for you, and then I want to ask you guys a question.
Okay.
We'd be remiss to leave Lamonte Turner off that list. For all intents and purposes, you know, is playing with a just completely bum shoulder until he just couldn't anymore. And I mean, I don't know if you guys ever saw later on he posted that he had been putting in time in the gym trying to figure out if he could shoot left-handed. Like, what? He was just an animal. The question I have for you guys, though, is, I mean, how will you all view the legacy of a guy like Henry T when you, like, in what I'm thinking of is, like, I feel like Jalen Hurd, you know, when he left, is kind of bitter, but I look back on him actually very fondly of, like,
me too.
You know, like, he was a really good player for us. You know, and he was a dude who didn't mind to take, you know, 30 carries in a game if he needed to.
Played hurt.
And
I'll never forget him getting popped.
Played hurt a lot.
Yeah.
Even back to high school. And he's a guy, that's a great point, Kevin. Now, if he had finished up his career here, if Butch Jones hadn't basically screwed him over, and then, yeah, I mean, he might certainly warrant a place on this list.
He would own every rushing record that Tennessee has.
Well, even if we just moved him out to receiver, I mean, we probably wouldn't have thrown him the ball any, but he would have stayed if we had gone ahead and given him the position.
What do you mean?
Switch.
We threw the ball to him all the time when he'd motion out of the backfield.
Yeah, but we didn't utilize our receivers. Josh Malone is the only one who had a good year receiving for Butch Jones.
I mean, could you imagine Kiffin with those weapons that year, 15, with Kamara, Hurd, Dobbs, all of, you know, all those receivers we had?
Why you got to bring Kiffin into this?
So
you got a Kiffin fetish, man. You got to let it go.
No, man, it's not. Can you imagine what
Josh Heupel would have done?
Josh Heupel.
Thank you.
Heupel.
Yes.
How do you think you could have? I mean, Butch Jones was a fake. A fraud, a phony,
we didn't need Kiffin, man. We had Mike, the goat, DeBoard. So that's all we needed there.
I gotta give it to DeBoard. That offensive his was prolific. That one year
fell apart when he left, man.
So to Kevin's question, though, as I think he just dropped off the line, what is your opinion in differences, I guess, between a guy like Jalen Hurd and maybe a guy like Hank T? Because I do find that question fascinating.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurd's a lot tougher than Hank T.
Well, and I think the situations are different, right? I don't think Toe was leaving because we wouldn't allow him a position switch or there was injuries or anything like that. He is leaving because, well, I think we'll find out a lot more. I think we know why Henry Toe is leaving. The gravy train ran out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. You know, you look at Hurd, and you're right. Like, I think some of the first memories that do come to your mind are him just getting blasted on the goal line, but being a tough, physical, good player.
My first memory that comes to my mind is him carrying 9 Florida Gators on his back, rumbling, stumbling downfield a year where we beat Florida.
How about the picture of him and Dobbs?
People ought to be a little bit more appreciative, a little bit of some of the stuff he did. You know, I mean, he made some big-time plays here.
May I pose a rhetorical question before we get Jamie in here?
Sure.
If, hypothetically, I'm not linking this to any specific coaches or players, but let's just imagine for a second that there was a coach who was breaking a rule in recruiting and, oh, I don't know, paying a football player to come play for him in college.
Okay.
And let's say, for instance, that there was an agreement that the coach – would pay the player X number of dollars per year, whether it's percentage or a flat number, whatever. Let's just say, hypothetically again, that said coach got fired. And thus, what becomes that agreement? Does the player deserve a percentage of that coach's hypothetical buyout at that point? Or does the agreement just cease to exist at that point?
The agreement ceases to exist.
I'm just imagining this. If this happened, if that happened.
That'd be a good court battle one day. Player sues coach.
You owe me some of that buyout money, coach. I helped you get that job. Quick timeout. The drive continues. Jamie, hold right there. We're coming to you next. 865-546-8200, 546-8200. If you want to hop on the G3 Help Me Hotline, back with more of your phone calls after this. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues. 865-546-8200. Your number. Jamie is up next. Good afternoon, Jamie.
What up, Russ?
Hey, man, what's going on?
What's up, Bear?
What's going on, buddy?
Not much, man. Andrew, is it? Bill, Steve, Mike?
Do what?
Who's your other counterpart? Who's your other guy?
Rick Butler's here. Ooh. Mr. Fabulous.
What's up,
I'll
Rick?
Go by Steve. we'll go Steve.
Steve Butler.
Yeah, sure.
Guys, interesting combo today, man. I'm glad y'all come up with that. Y'all took a little side road there with the guys that we missed out on. Patrick Turner and Patrick Willis comes to mind. Did anybody mention them?
I think Willis definitely was.
Yeah, we did. Both of them.
Patrick Turner ended up at Southern Cal. Guys, Blood and Guts team, has anybody dropped the great Reverend Minister of Defense from Chattanooga?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Jamie, you might be jumping in. We should go over this again, right, for folks who are just joining.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
So the defensive line was nasty. This is the all-volunteer state Blood and Guts team in honor of Trey Smith. Guys from the volunteer state, our four-man defensive line, Derek Barnett, John Henderson, Reggie White, and Doug Atkins.
Oh, God.
Nasty sauce.
Whew.
Pretty good.
Not bad. How about this one? Go ahead, babe.
I was just going to say that's a lot of nastiness. That's a lot of nasty.
I like Atkins, y'all's O-line. White.
Go ahead, Jamie.
How about Scott Gallion out of Seymour?
Oh! He could go on the all blood and guts team for sure. You're
talking about an ass-kicking machine.
Wasn't it Scott Gallion that disrupted the pitch from Ohio State, 95 Citrus Bowl? I think it was fourth down from one Bobby Hoying to one Heisman Trophy winner, Edward.
On the Bill Duff play?
No, I'm talking about late in the game against – it was the same game. I think Ohio State was driving. I think they had a fourth and one or fourth down. And maybe it wasn't even fourth down, but it was an option to the right, and Hoying went to pitch it. And I either hit Scott Gallion's helmet or he was hitting Bobby Hoying as he was making the pitch. I know, Bear, you remember this.
Yeah,
and as he's coming to the sideline, John Cooper's got that look on his face like, "Well, you blew it."
Blame it on the cleats.
Blame it on the rain.
Yeah, that's right. That was the great cleat gate from Tennessee. John Cooper from Powell.
John Cooper deserves a spot. Well, he didn't coach us, I guess, but he's one that got away. I guess probably should have been involved in our program in some way.
What about the great Mumford running back, one Jonathan Jones?
Oof.
Johnny Jones. He whipped up on Bama.
Have we made it this far without Johnny Jones being referenced?
Wow. Thank you. I feel vindicated. I don't know another running back that beat Alabama more
Johnny
than Johnny
Jones.
Used
to love playing Alabama.
Mm-hmm. Big time.
They could tackle him. He'd punk them out.
He put the team on his back late in the game more than once. Guys, I tried to call on the weekend, missed out. I had a little window to try to get in. Y'all had a guest on talking about how the plumber is at it again. Could it be that we've just hired our sixth straight incompetent AD?
Oh, don't say it, Jamie. Don't think it.
Oh, man, at this point, you just got to laugh. But, guys, I took my niece to the Orange and White game the other day because, man, it turned out to not be raining. It was a beautiful day. You know, not a lot of people went. You could park right up in the garages for free. And we get up to the gate. And I hadn't been in so long. I didn't know about the – this will tell you how long it's been since I've been. My niece had a little backpack, and they were like, oh, no backpacks. I got to be clear. And so we had to turn around and walk back to the garage. But it was the first one, you know. We didn't have to walk too far. But as we spun out of the gate to go let her drop her backpack off, here come one Richard Barnes walking up. He's by himself, not a stitch of orange on him. And he,
where's your orange, dude?
Representing, you know, you can think for 5 million a year the guy could find something orange to wear. But he is wearing our third dairy color, all gray, you know. Remember, that's our third color. But yeah, believe it or not, we're walking back to the parking lot. He goes, "What's up, man?" Like we know each other. I used to run into him all the time at Jason's Deli, but I never did. I never did strike up a jock sniffing conversation with the guy. But I guess he remembers we spent. I guess he eats at Jason's Deli about as much as I do. I shouldn't be throwing out compliments to a non-sponsor, but I just wanted to get that in there. But
Rick Barnes saw you, the coach killer, the guy you're ripping right now for not wearing orange, and he tried to talk to you like you guys were buds.
Exactly.
If only he knew. If only he knew how many cheap shots you've taken over the years, Jamie.
Well,
he might have accosted you. He might have had a couple of words for you. Let me tell you something.
I wish he would have. As y'all know me over the years, I love it when we get into little words. But yeah, what was funny was anybody else would have been with me would have said, "That's Coach Barnes talking to you." And my niece was like, "Who's that?" I was like, "Exactly. Who's that?" Oh, goodness. Good stuff. I wish I had some more, man. I was trying to think of some guys, some There was a white guy that played on our offensive line in the 90s. He played guard. He ended up going pro. He might have even left a year early. And I just can't remember who he was. I think he either wore like 54.
Are you talking about Trey Teague?
No, it wasn't. Teague played tackle, didn't he?
I think he played all over the offensive line.
Yeah, that was back when we played our best five, which I kind of like. I like that that strategery from Coach Former's, but just get your best five out, you know, find a place for Fred Weary. You know, I think it was
Bubba Big Jeff Smith.
Big Jeff Smith. No, I can't believe I can't think of him. I'll put it out on Twitter when I can get pulled over and look up the rosters. But, yeah, I remember either Coleman or Bubba started at guard and ended up moving to center. And, but, yeah, you're right, man. He'd move them all over the place. Was Kevin Mays out of the state of Tennessee? He was, wasn't he?
I believe so.
Mid-state or maybe Sweetwater.
Where was Kevin Mays from, Barry?
He's from Roane County, isn't he?
I mean, that's Ray where he County. Lives now. I don't know if he's from there originally.
Yeah, no. Yeah. He's. I'm pretty sure Kevin. I don't know. Let me look him up. Yeah, he's Tennessee.
Roane County Red is the great Russ would call it. But, yeah, man, this would be fun to toss around. It's good stuff, man. I like it. You know, blood and guts team the guys we missed out on team. And this is good stuff. I hope you all branch off from it a little bit because this is fun reminiscing going back. I hate that I missed some of the show today. I was thinking I really dropped one in on you with Reggie White, but, of course, I should have known our listeners would have had him out there early and often. So shout-out to those fellers. But good stuff, man. Y'all hang in there.
Thank you, Jamie. Whatever happened to Kevin Mays' lawsuit with Georgia? Wasn't he suing them?
The incident.
I have no
cut
idea.
His finger off.
Yeah.
With, like, a chair. The most ridiculous story. Wasn't he suing them?
Yeah. Yeah, he sure was.
I can't think of an update that we've gotten anytime soon. Or anytime recently, I should say.
What, he cut his finger off with a folding chair or something, right?
Yeah, it's like just shot off. Just
Golly.
Wasn't that the story? Sam Pittman picked it up in a napkin and gave it back to him, I think. Wasn't that the story?
Yes. Here's your finger, dude. You lost this.
Something about ice as well, because, you know, that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. But I guess they couldn't reattach it, or it was
just
too badly damaged or something. I don't know.
Which finger was it?
I think it was his pinky finger. One of his pinky fingers. Oh, one of the little guys. You know that hurt. Thanks.
Yeah, I think it hurt.
You're like, ah! Finger cut off like that.
Woohoo!
I don't know what it hurt
yeah,
as bad
I
as
think
getting
it hurt.
Smashed like Ronnie Lott did.
That was good.
I think the Ronnie Lott thing sounded worse to me.
Oh, well,
he like pulverized it into his finger.
Yeah, he told him to cut it off. You never heard that story, Rick?
Not in that kind of detail.
Ronnie
I don't think.
Lott, the great safety of 49ers, hurt smashed
finger.
His finger in a game.
Between two.
And they told him on the sideline, well, you're going to have to, like, that your finger's pulverized. It's an injury. You're done for the day, and we'll have to reevaluate. He told him to go ahead and cut the finger off.
They were
going to
let him play the Super Bowl, dude.
Somebody ever tells me that a body part of mine is pulverized, I'm just going to say I'm done.
But
that
they cut it off on the sideline, didn't they, Bear? And he came and finished the game.
No. He was going to knock him out of the Super Bowl. Or the NFC Championship game one. It was one of their big time games, and he was like, nah, just that's what he figured out. If they just amputated the end of it, he'd be able to play with that. So I told him to just cut the end of it off, and so they did it. I mean, it was like a surgery, but yeah, they just went in and lopped the end of his finger off. Yeah, that dude was crazy, Ronnie Lott.
Wow, makes me a little queasy, but it's a great story.
It's back when men were men. Steve Atwater, Kenny Easley. You go back into the late 80s, defensive backs. And you don't talk about a pack of just really, really not nice guys.
Would you put John Lynch in that group?
Oh, yeah. John Lynch was a striker. Yeah. He hits you so hard your mama start crying in the stands. He's insane.
Brad is next. Hello, Brad.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Going well, thank you.
Hey, I got a couple of guys for the blood and guts list. I caught a little bit of the first hour. I didn't know if you mentioned him or not, but he's one of my favorites. Jermaine Copeland from Harriman.
Oh, how could we forget the Harriman Blue Devil?
He's awfully good.
Big miss.
Thank you, Brad. Thank you.
And my other one was for a secondary player. He's one of my favorites also. Torrey Noel from Memphis Melrose.
Torrey Noel. Ooh. Beautiful.
All-time great Tennessee name, too. Torrey Noel.
Did you hear the rumor back in the day about Torrey Noel and Al Wilson getting into a fight on the sideline, the SEC championship game, Russ?
No.
No, but I would have paid cash money to see that one.
The 97 game?
I think it was the 97 game.
It would have had to, because he wasn't on the 98 team.
Because I'd heard people that were at the game said that they were, I mean, this was before they had camera, 100 million cameras everywhere. I guess they didn't pick it up on camera, but they were flat out throwing it down on the sideline.
That's not a fight I'd want to break up, Russ. How about you?
Two bad dudes going at it. We know a couple of those guys. I have to ask for a confirmation of that.
All right, that's all I got, guys. See you.
Thank you, Brad. Appreciate the phone call.
What's the one? You tell an all-timer. You got a couple of all-time stories. You've heard practice stories. The crazy stuff.
About anything in particular? Or?
When there now, there's a crazy Al Wilson one. So,
yeah, there was
serious, man, wasn't he?
Man, what was that story? I can't remember the player. Somebody was popping off to Al Wilson at practice one day. Fred White tells this story. It's great.
Leaves the player unnamed.
And he's the player is popping off. I don't know if he's popping off to Al Wilson or just somewhere in general. And Al not liking it. And Al Wilson's on one knee on the sideline, and he's got – they used to have Gatorades in cans at the practice field. And Al reaches in to this cooler, takes out one of these cans of Gatorade, full can, and just throws a 90-mile-per-hour heater, hits this dude in the side of the head, can busts open, explodes.
It's like a firework almost comes with it.
Without even saying a word, just picks up the can, boom, right in the helmet.
Fastball.
Yeah.
Ooh, Russ, I've got one for you. Can't believe we kind of overlooked this guy.
Okay.
Stephen Gregory White.
Steve White was from Tennessee. He's from Memphis,
Westwood.
Right?
He's from Memphis. Went to Westwood High School. Played, what? 7 years, okay. 7 years in the NFL, all-time nasty, tough guy.
Yep, he deserves to be, he deserves mention here. Where did Todd Collins go to college?
Jefferson
Bear?
County.
Yeah, but where did he
end up
college?
In Georgia? Pretty sure he went to Georgia
for the Patriots for a long time, right?
Yeah, yeah, he was really good.
The quarterback.
How did he get out of here?
No, linebacker. Okay. You know, I can't remember.
Was he just overlooked?
I mean, what a lot of people don't realize at that time.
No, he played at Carson Newman. Coming out of Jeff County, USA Today All America received a scholarship offer to the University of Georgia. Injury problems kept him off the field. He transferred to UT for one semester before ending up at Carson Newman.
Yeah, and then he ended up in the pros.
Maybe we should have stuck with him through that injury.
Yeah.
He was also
– in hindsight.
He was apparently – so he was drafted by the Patriots in the third round of the 92 draft. Then he left the Patriots in 99. Part of the compensation package that the Patriots received – was included with the 199th pick in the 2000 draft.
No.
Ended up being Tom Brady.
Oh!
No joke. No joke. Todd Collins is basically responsible for the Patriots pick that got Tom Brady. Unbelievable.
Wow.
Small world.
I'd forgotten about that angle.
Very interesting. Good stuff. Good stuff this afternoon on the show.
Well, I mean, you gotta keep my back. You know, we talk about how loaded these classes are now. Go back and look at some of those classes back in the day, back in the '80s here in Tennessee. You look at some of those names. See a lot of guys played a lot of football, and some of them played a lot of football in the NFL.
By the way, Bear, I've been meaning to tell you, my wife and daughter are very disturbed with the way you say Tennessee.
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 Sounds like he's saying Hennessy, but with a T.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Where are you from? Tennessee. The Southeastern Conference, you've got Alabama, Kentucky, South Carolina, Georgia, Tennessee, and Florida. Tennessee. Is that what did Arrested Development change the way you pronounce Tennessee?
It may have. I mean, I don't know. Kind of surprised by Mrs. W. I mean, this is no shot coming out of your minion.
My wife? It's my minion?
No, your minion.
My daughter? You take a shot at my daughter?
Little Russ, as I like to call her. Little Russell.
Whoa.
So,
bad nickname.
She's her old man. You want to know what Russell looks like as a girl? It's his daughter.
Yeah,
very clever. Very
a lot of people probably want to know
very
what I look
funny.
Like as a girl. That's
very, very funny.
Speaking of, what will never mind. Stay with us. The drive continues. I can't go down that road. When we got W. Lynn standing by, we're going to take our final break. W. Lynn, hang right there. You'll have the floor when we continue. Back to wrap things up after this. Back here on the Drive Fan Run Radio, wrapping up Monday afternoon edition of the show. And thank Mr. Fabulous Rick Butler for hanging out this Monday afternoon.
Mr. Fabulous, really?
Thank you for having me.
Welcome, Rick.
Well, you missed the beginning of the show. That was the name. So it's full circle.
That's your name, right? That's your nickname.
Very much so.
I didn't give him the nickname. What do you want from me? I'm just the guy.
No, I know. I mean, that's a classic Phil nickname.
Let's get W. Lynn in here. Then we'll get Big Raj as well. W. Lynn, you're on the Drive, Fan Run Radio.
How are my French compatriots doing?
Doing well. How are you, sir?
Doing great. I just wanted to say last Saturday was one of the greatest events and days I've been a part of, going to the UT baseball game, which y'all probably already talked about, but it was just a perfect event. And then we went down and followed our Mike Carver, Rocky Hill, Knoxville native, and his horse, Old Bezos, which finished fifth in the Kentucky Derby.
Now, how was the atmosphere in Lindsey Nelson this weekend, W. Lynn? Was it comparable to the Vanderbilt series?
No, because people don't understand. When the kids are going to, this is finals week. And they had finals on Saturday. And I know this because my daughter graduated from UT 2015. And it's a lot more serious. So the Legends of Legion, I always say it wrong, Legends of Lindsey were not there like they have been because they were taking finals. And
now
I was
see,
trying to tell people.
Lynn, like, back in my day, back in Bear's day, back in your day, maybe it's different culture now. We aren't letting finals distract us. I mean, when you talk about priorities, a big SEC series sporting event, that comes before studying, in my book.
Well, but, you know, Russell, if you do that now, you might be in another college or spend another year.
I got you.
I know what you're saying. That's the way we used to do it. We had professors that said, oh, don't worry about it. But I was on the quarter system. But it was still a great event. And I've got several people for this Blood and Guts team. And Todd Helton, who was a baseball player first and a football player second, I can at least say he had a Blood and Guts play when he cracked back on that UCLA player on that in reverse or whatever we did. Do you remember that?
The Jerry Colquitt game in 94?
Yes.
I don't remember that specific play, Lynn, but I remember the game for sure.
Oh, Todd Helton just waylaid some defensive end or, you know, blindsided him. And, you know, I remember that. And
I remember, correct me if I'm wrong, W, it got real chippy after Jerry went down, didn't it? I just remember that game got kind of ugly. And that was at a time where, I mean, it's guys we've talked about were on that, you know, some notorious tough guys that played at Tennessee were on that team. I remember that game getting really kind of nasty.
And I'm kind of going reverse time here in order. I got to think of Harry Galbraith and Bruce Wilkerson. You know, they're both Tennessee players, and they got nasty when they had to.
Galbraith's one of the nastiest players that ever played at Tennessee. I mean, sweetheart off the field, beautiful person, but he'd be pretty hard pressed to find anybody nastier or scarier than that dude. I mean, you go back and talk to guys that played against him.
And a guy I remember as a kid growing up, Johnny Mills was one of my heroes growing up when I first started following UT. But the second guy, his tearaway jersey was always half torn off. He had mud all over him, sometimes blood. Do you all know who Crossville Comet was?
Oh, yeah. Kurt Watson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That guy, he didn't fear anybody.
He was also a Blue Angel.
That's exactly right. He was. So he was a veteran. I mean, you know, and then you go even further. I'm talking about way further back. This guy made the all 100-year ESPN team, and he was a Central High Bobcat, Bob Suffrage.
Hall of Fame, wow. Hall of Fame offensive lineman, Bob Suffrage. I love it.
And he played defensive line, and when he went to the NFL, they kept calling him offsides, and they had to show whatever film they had back then in the NFL, they had to show officials that he's not jumping offside. He's just jumping when the ball snapped, because they were early in his career, they were calling him offside. But, and I could go on and say another Central High graduate, Ken Donahue. But, when you get into that, the in-state guys, I love it. And I always said I wanted the most in-state players you could get. And I know you can't build a team completely on in-state players. But you got guys like, I know Marco Vanek came down here, and he's evolved for life. I mean, if he moved back to Tennessee, in my book, he'd be a Tennessean, you know.
We should do – all right, so that is a great springboard. We could do this maybe tomorrow, guys. Out-of-state players who embodied the volunteer spirit that we would adopt as our own.
Part two of our series.
Part two of our series, yes, coming up. Very
good.
Yeah,
I think the Georgia team is
pretty stacked.
Yeah,
we could almost do an entire team from Georgia. Yeah. Anything else, Lynn?
Yeah, we could. And that's what we got to get back to, guys. I mean, we always, we need to get the Tennessee players, but Georgia has always been the second state where we get the most players. And I know Bear and you and me and all don't like Georgia, the university, but we get a lot of Georgia players, and once they get here, they love UT forever. You know, most of them.
Yeah, we got to start beating Georgia, too. They like it a lot better when they can go home and brag. Hey, Lynn, I want to get Roger in here. Great to hear from you, bud.
All right. Good.
All right. Wrapping up the show with Big Rog on a Monday afternoon. Roger, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
Oh, hey, Russ. I'm fine. I'm doing fine. How y'all doing?
Hey, doing very well, man. Good to hear from you.
Well, you too. Good. You too. It's been a I also have to talk to you, Russell. I just wanted to ask you, I don't have a lot of time, so I'll hold you real quick. I'll talk about tomorrow, about a lot of us. I want to ask you about the draft real quick. I just want to ask you, I know that Trey Smith went to the went to Kansas State. That's why I asked y'all, Baird and Trent. Oh, y'all, the question to y'all. Was that a good fit for you? Think it's a good fit for him?
Yeah, I think it's a great fit for him, Raj, because he's going to go in there with low expectations for a sixth rounder, but we all know what kind of player he is. So I would be absolutely stunned if he doesn't make that team. I'd be surprised if he doesn't find a way into the starting lineup at some point, man.
He's an Andy Reid kind of guy.
And they need help. They need help on the line.
And as far as I know, like, he kind of put the – like, he's practicing again this year. Remember in 2019, he didn't practice because of the heart condition.
Remember they found out, they realized that it wasn't the second time around, that it was some kind of scarring. That it wasn't actually, you know, just – it's an unfortunate situation. But, yeah, Roger, I think we're all in agreement. We expect big things out of Trey Smith out there at Kansas City.
Roger, we're out of time. Thank you so much. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Bear. Thank you, Adam Hickman. That's going to do it for us. Overtime coming up next. We'll do it again tomorrow right here on Fan Run Radio.